Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, joining us on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is a former Portland Trailblazer. He was here from 1998 through 2003 and was on the team the last time the Blazers were in the conference finals. He's now playing in the Big Three for Tri-State, which is coached by Dr. Jane. He plays with another former Blazer, Jermaine O'Neal. It is Bonzi Wells joining us now. Bonzi, good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm good, my brothers. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Doing great. You know, the last time Blazers were in the conference finals, you were on the team. It was 19 years ago. It's crazy that it was 19 years ago now. But it went seven games with the Lakers, and you guys got beat in game one by 15 points. Can you kind of take us through that run to the Western Conference Finals in 2000? Because that was like your coming out party here in Portland, where you strung together some great playoff performances.
That was good times, man. Golly, it sounds like you feel old. You said 19 years ago. Wow. You know, it goes by fast, though. It goes by fast. But I remember during that time, man, I was young. I think I was in my second year. And I was just maybe getting my first time really getting some NBA experience because I didn't play much from that first year, the lockout year. So I was just really just getting on the court. And everything was like a blur that year. I knew we had a really good team. We was competitive every night throughout that season. We looked like one of the better teams throughout the whole regular season. And then when we got into the playoffs, I mean, I remember I think we knocked off Utah, which was big for us during that run. And I think when we got to the Lakers, I mean, everybody knows the story with that. But just going to seven games against a tough L.A. Lakers team, you know, big market against a small market, however you want to call it. I mean, it was just everything was against us. And, you know, we pushed it to the limits and, you know, we just think we came up a little bit short.
You know, Bonzi, after playing with so many teams and being in multiple different locker rooms, you look at this Blazer team and you see someone like a Damian Lillard and you hear this theory it's being told over and over, culture, attitude, kind of what the Blazers have done and what Dame's done here. How important is it, if you look at someone like a Damian Lillard, to want to be here in Portland and with the guys jumping super teams and the mentality of the NBA nowadays, do you look at Dame and go, man, this is so rare and it's so important to have the kind of success by his leadership?
Definitely. I mean, but that's just kind of what we're used to. I mean, you always wanted to be loyal to your team and stay where you're at and people that, you know, gave you a chance. And that's what it's all about. I mean, this new NBA where guys jump ship and go play with homies just to chase championships. I mean, that's a young man's game. I mean, I respect everything about Dame Lillard. I mean, everything he stands for, you know, everything he brings to the city of Portland and, you know, and how he represents from his home, too. And just Dame is great. I love CJ McCollum. I mean, I like the whole dynamics of the team, and then it takes a great coach too. And I've never knew Coach Stout, but he looked like he's a great guy to kind of blend all those different characters together and make it just, you know, play well as a family.
Bonzi Wells is our guest. Former Blazer, played here in 1998 to 2003, now playing in the Big Three, which starts their season at the end of next month. You know, one thing you say, Dame is old school, and he's a guy that one thing I love about him is if somebody comes at him on social media, he'll come right back at you. Is there a part of you that wishes that maybe social media existed back when you were playing in Portland because of the sometimes unfair criticism that came your way?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's crazy that all the stuff that we were doing back then that we got crucified for is all accepted today. You know, and you know, we were back then, if you even spoke a word, you would be you get fined $25,000-$50,000 for conduct detrimental to the league or whatever, however the case they want to put it out there that we did something wrong. So, you know, guys just kept their mouth shut. You know, when stories used to come out about guys, and which we knew that were totally false and fabricated, we couldn't say nothing because we didn't have the power of the pen back then. So I'm thankful that these guys finally got a voice where they can say what really happened and they can hear, people can hear both sides of the story and form their own opinion instead of just hearing one-sided, because you have to truly understand a lot of our guys, a lot of our lives have been judged off things that happened or didn't happen to us in Portland. And that's unfair.
You know, and you talk about that. There, you say that stories were written and things were fabricated. And one of the ones that comes to mind is the Sports Illustrated article that you were involved in. And it was misconstrued from what I've read in what you've said now, years later. What happened with that Sports Illustrated article and the guy who wrote it said that you didn't like the fans who were booing you?
You know, that was the craziest thing ever. I remember that clown came into town, and it was just during the height of all the people were writing stuff about the jail, you know, the quote-unquote jailblazers, you know, what they dubbed us. And people, he was just looking for a hot story, and everybody knew it, that he was just fishing. And, you know, but it was Sports Illustrated, so he was trying to come it up like he was writing a feel-good article about us trying to set the record straight. So it was a game that we had came to, and we had a bad run. And I think the fans had actually started booing us. And he had asked me about the quote, and he said, "Bonzi, how do you feel about the fans booing you?" And I said, I hate it. I said, "We all hate when the fans boo us." I said, "Nobody like to get booed." And he's like, "Well," he asked me something after that, and I was just like, "We don't hate the fans. We just hate getting booed, but we deserve to get booed at the time." Mm-hmm. And he just kind of just ran with it. And then when he wrote the first quote, was like, "Bonzi Wells said he hates the fans." And I was like, wow. And I just remember that next day I came into the Rose Garden, the next game or whatever, and I just got booed so bad. It just was bad from then on. And I never had a chance. I mean, you can never even find a quote from me back then because I never got asked about it. Nobody never gave me a chance to even say what really happened. They just believed that this guy from Sports Illustrated, who I've never met in my life, and I would just say something like that to him. And people believed it. And it was just the craziest thing ever.
And that kind of shaped how people viewed you after that here in Portland, too.
It did. But it really hurt because I'm from Indiana, which is a basketball state, and we try to stand with each other. And I just was hoping that Portland wouldn't even fall for that. That's right. Why I never spoke on it. I was just like, man, they can't believe it. There's no way they could believe that this guy would just come in and Bonzi Buzz and say, "I hate the fans," and knowing how hard I played, how much passion I played with, I was never a problem. You know, never a problem before. I just play hard. I might get some technical fouls, but we in combat, and it's not going to be sweet in combat. So, but other than that, that was my only mark against me, and that really hurt me that when the fans kind of went against me. But I understood it, but I didn't have the power to talk about what really happened. I mean, because I was scared of getting fined.
You know, you mentioned that, Bonzi, about being able to have social media and you get a chance to really defend yourself or tell everybody the true story. Is that like what players are now? Do you see the freedom that players have in this league now that they can do what they want, from Kyrie jumping, from LeBron moving, from everybody having that? Is that a culture of AAU culture? Is it just kind of how the game is moving forward? Because financially, we see a guy last night, Zion Williams, he didn't look like he wanted to go to New Orleans. What is this league made up of? Guys that kind of want to join up or loyalty?
I mean, I think it's more, you know, we've got the most influence. It's all about influence, and everybody just want to be on the hot wave. I mean, if Zion Williamson wasn't the whole Zion Williamson, the whole stuff we made him out to be, he would just be a humble kid from South Carolina, happy as heck that he about to be number one pick to New Orleans or wherever the heck picked him. But now, since the handler's getting your ear and all that stuff and tell you about your market value and how much money you're going to win, make or lose, whether you go to this market or that, and then you start thinking dollars instead of, you know, what you really love in basketball. So it's different now because everything is financial now. And back when we were coming up, man, we loved the game, and we always had a dream of maybe making it out of our situation and making some money, but we loved the game nonetheless. And these kids, it's just a different – not saying they don't love the game, it's just different because – they grew up with a financial mindset on how this game is supposed to be because it's such a blueprint nowadays.
Bonzi Wells is our guest, former Portland Trailblazer, and you came from Ball State. I mean, you said you're from Indiana. You stayed in Indiana. Yep. You went to Ball State. Do you think that, like, going from Ball State to Portland, we look at Dame went to Weber State. You got C.J. McCollum who went to Lehigh. Do you think that there is an element of guys kind of going from that mid-major school to a city like Portland and having that chip on your shoulder maybe works better here than it would be in some other big cities?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm from a small town in Indiana, and when I got to Portland was like New York City to me. People just don't know. because we only got one mall in my town. We got, you know, two or three high schools. We're not a big town. When I got to Portland, I was like, wow. And it was like, this is a small market. And then as I got to living there and understanding that, you know, people embraced me. They embraced me so good in Portland. It just felt like home. So I was like, man, I love playing here. Like, it was just so cool. I could come there. Damon was from there, you know, which was one of my best friends on the team. And he showed me around Portland, and I met so many people in the Portland community that just showed so much love to me and made me feel at home. So it's just like I wanted to just come out there and play hard every single night. So I just remember the night I was traded. Man, it broke my heart so bad because I had to find out about it watching SportsCenter and saw my name at the bottom of the TV, and I was like, wow. And it just really broke my heart because I just, you know, just feel like, dang, first they want me, now they don't want me. And it was just like, I couldn't believe it. Everything happened so fast. So that was just really a tough moment for me the day I left Portland.
So, I mean, you're a human, too. I mean, you're a basketball player, but you're human. Do you hold a grudge against Portland at all or the fans?
No, because the fans are just uninformed. You know, as I for a moment, I did for a minute. But then I understood it was a business. But then as I got to seeing, I was like, Bonzi, you never even told your side of the story. So the fans only heard one side. So It's not their fault that they only heard one side of the story. So I didn't really talk about it. And as I got older as a man, I'm like, Bonzi, you need to go ahead and start telling your story. And we need to heal. Like, it's no problem. It's no reason that Bonzi Wells can ever have anybody feeling ill feel about him in the Portland area. Because it's just basketball. It's not. I mean, we love the game, but it's not real life, you know. And I was just blessed as any young kid who had a dream playing basketball. I was living it. And I never did it. You know, it wasn't no blueprint. I'm from a small town. I never had money in my life. I was poor as heck on Monday, and I had money on Tuesday. And it wasn't no, and people expected me to know how to handle all that stuff. And I was learning on the fly. And I was just thankful that Portland was small enough and they embraced me enough to let me make my mistakes. You know what I'm saying, without it getting too bad. But just when that Sports Illustrated thing happened, it was just like, wow. Like, man, that just really hurt me because I had a great relationship with Portland before then.
You know, Bonzi, you and I are both 70s kids. I was born in 75. You're 76. I can't imagine heading back to play anything because I was a football guy. But you're heading back to playing the Big Three. What was it? Was it something that you just said, hey, man, I want to get back around ball. I want to be back around the locker room. I miss the locker room every day. What was it saying? I think it's time for me to go make a run, get back and play on this half court. I could take advantage of this. Tell me a little about the Big Three, about what you're getting after.
Man, when the opportunity came, it was a bunch of us guys who actually we're considered the founding fathers of the league that had a vision with Ice Cube that this is something that we wanted to start. And, you know, a lot of guys wish we could have started this a few more years ago and we still had some legs up under us. But that's another story. But, you know, it was great that, you know, Ice Cube came up with the concept, and he was just like, this is my vision, how do you guys feel about it? And we just started from scratch on how we wanted the league to be and the vision. We had a 3 to 5 year plan on where we wanted to go with it. And to be sitting here in year three after just being able to, you know, go to city, playing in your favorite arenas, playing in front of your fans again, being around your fellow, you know, people that you play with or competed against, man, it's just been an unbelievable experience, man. And if people haven't been out to see the Big Three yet, I mean, they need to come out and check us out because it's a good time. You know, we can still play a little bit, and we changed the rules a little bit. We got some younger guys in to kind of, you know, speed up the pace a little bit. But it's a great time, man. It's just, you know, please come out and check us out if you got a chance.
Yeah, the season tips off in Detroit on June 22nd. He is on Tri-State with Nate Robinson. Oh, UW guy,
Nate Rob, baby.
Jermaine O'Neal, Amari Stoudemire, Jason Richardson, coached by Dr. J as well. And Bonzi, before we let you go, I mean, one thing that, you know, you said you were misconstrued. Do you think that your era in the whole team as a whole was misconstrued? That quote unquote jailblazer era, as you brought up?
Oh, definitely. I mean, definitely. It was just the media that saw us up trying to bring us down, and that's just their job. And, you know, you got to respect it because that's just what they do. And I'm not saying it about you guys. I mean, you guys are great. You know what I'm saying? But back then, man, it was just what it was. And you know, they got to understand we were some young kids living our dream, and we're going to make mistakes every now and then, but it wasn't something we was trying to do on purpose. But we love basketball. We competed at a high level every single night. We just came up short, and we were just getting judged for coming up short, and people – and the media just didn't like that, and they just wanted to bring us down. So hopefully, you know, one day we'll be able to tell our true story on all the stuff that happened in Portland, and people could just really just understand and just really just form their opinion from then on out.
Is there that – I mean, there was that report, and Damon Stoudemire made some headlines. He was talking on a show that's on our station, their afternoon show. He was talking about HBO was starting to make a documentary about that jailblazer era. Has anything come of that, or is anything in the works out of a 30 for 30 or an HBO thing or something like that where you guys get to tell your story?
Well, a couple years back, we heard some stories about a reporter around there. I can't think of his name, and he had wrote a book, or he was writing a book about the Jail Blazers, and we was hearing stuff that rumbling that people was going to try to tell our story. So we just, you know, me, Rasheed, Damon, and a couple other guys just said, hey, why don't we just come together and tell our own story? So it's something we're in the works doing now, and we've got to just, you know, you got to go through a whole lot of processes before you can even, you know, get stuff going forward. So we're just going through the process, and hopefully we'll get stuff out, something out real soon, and telling our own stories about what they call it, the quote-unquote Jailblazers.
Awesome. Bonzi Wells, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Bonzi.
You mentioned awesome. That you wanted the fans to know that you appreciated them, and we have a text line where people can text into the show. And I just want you to know, since you've come on, you started telling your story, it's been blowing up with people saying, we loved Bonzi. We named our yellow lab Bonzi after him, and people appreciating, we've got a bunch of texts from people appreciating your time and the work that you put in here. So we appreciate you taking a few minutes to tell your side of the story.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's start a petition to bring that 2000 team back so we can come support our guys in the Western Conference Finals, man. I'd love to come back and see the Portland fans. I look forward to it. That's something we need.
I love it. Bonzi Wells, everybody. You can catch him in the Big Three. It's a great perspective, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.